This week is Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. Here in Wisconsin, 755 people died by suicide in 2014, 4.5 times the number of people who died by homicide that year. About one person under the age of 20 dies by suicide each week in Wisconsin.
As part of Suicide Prevention Awareness Week, advocates are highlighting the role of the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and other resources.
Shel Gross joins us now to talk about Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. He's Director of Public Policy for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Shel, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much, Rob. Glad to be here.
Now, Shel, before we get into the wider issue of suicide prevention, right off the bat, for people out there who might be dealing with this themselves, someone in their family, what kind of resources are out there for them to reach out to?
Well, as you mentioned, and I appreciate you doing so, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-TALK, is available 24/7. And many of those calls are actually answered from crisis centers in Wisconsin. So that's certainly a resource for people. Every county also has a crisis response capability. So people can go, if they want, on our website, PreventSuicideWisconsin.org, and click on their county, and they can find the crisis number for their county. And that's sort of the most immediate thing people can do.
Now, Shel, we mentioned some of the most recently available statistics on suicide in Wisconsin, but big picture, how big of a problem is suicide for us here in the state?
Well, 755, that's a big number. Wisconsin, in 2014, just snuck below the national average, but we've generally run above that. But you add to that, that's the number of people who died by suicide. There are many, many other people who made attempts, needed medical care. And then for those people who die by suicide, family and friends are impacted, sometimes in a huge way. I've seen whole communities really significantly impacted by the death of someone by suicide, especially if it's a young person.
Obviously, this is a year-round problem, but this week, this awareness week, is trying to help draw attention to it. What kind of things are you hoping come out of Suicide Prevention Awareness Week?
Yeah, and as we point out, if you go to the website, we actually have 2 months worth of activities coming up, because a lot of local groups are having walks and other events all through this month and into October as well. And it's really opportunities for people locally to learn more about suicide. There are trainings so people can learn about the warning signs and how to respond. There are ways for people to get involved with some of the local coalitions that exist in many areas of our state if they're interested in, you know, working more on preventing suicides.
We're talking to Shel Gross from Mental Health America of Wisconsin, looking at Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. Shel, you at Mental Health America Wisconsin have taken on this goal. This is something that people are doing elsewhere, too. Zero suicide. Can you talk about the zero suicide effort?
Yeah, and it's something we're really excited about. One of the numbers on our press release was 43, which is the percent of people who die by suicide who are reported as being in care at the time of their death. They're seeing somebody, and we don't always know what that means. These are from coroner and medical examiner reports, but we spent a lot of our efforts trying to make people aware and know how to talk to people and get them into care. We have to make sure our care systems are as effective as they can be. And over the last number of years, this Quality Improvement Initiative has developed, and it is for behavioral health and healthcare settings to really allow them to think about suicide as a never event, that when you have somebody in care, if these practices are applied conscientiously by the system, it's not just one individual, it's the whole system, organizations have demonstrated very significant reductions in suicide. Henry Ford Health System in Detroit was one of the organizations that began work that grew into this zero suicide initiative, and they reduced suicides by 80% over a 4-year period, and actually went 10 quarters without a death by suicide in their system. And other organizations that are adopting these practices are starting to see similar results. So we find that very exciting, very promising in terms of our ability to reduce suicides.
And that is exciting, and it sounds like there's a mindset change almost, really thinking of suicide as something that's preventable. I think there's maybe a pop culture idea that if someone is suicidal, they'll always be suicidal. They will eventually succeed. It sounds like no, it's something that if you can get through that stretch of time, you can ultimately prevent a suicide.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's a real culture shift as well in thinking about it. And there is pushback. Many times in health systems, some of the medical staff who have been around for a while, they're uncomfortable with the notion because they really have come to believe, you know, that's people are going to die by suicide. But what we're seeing is that doesn't have to be the result. And my perspective is that it is really creating hope in our providers, our practitioners. You know, imagine if you're a provider and you don't really believe people can get better, what are you communicating to the people you're working with? So I think it's important for providers to realize we have these tools and we have these practices that really make a difference. And I think that's where we've seen a lot of excitement in the organizations that we've been working with on this.
Well, I want to say that number again. You said at Henry Ford Hospital in Michigan, 80% decline.
They had 80% reduction, right? And they maintain that. You know, I mean, they maintain that level. One of the organizations, when we started this effort, we actually were sending teams of people to Henry Ford to get trained. Now we're actually doing these events in Wisconsin. One of the groups that went up in Wausau, North Central Healthcare, which serves public sector clients in central, north central Wisconsin, they had 7 deaths by suicide among their population the year before they went. Had 6 the year they went, although they hadn't started much, 3 the next year, and then last year they had no suicides. And they're convinced that it was these practices that have reduced that. So it really is something that is working, and it's very promising.
Now, we're talking about the medical care system right now. How about in daily life? In some of the material you put out for Prevention Week, you included some things about how to talk to someone who reveals suicidal thoughts, and maybe more importantly, how not to talk to them. Can you give us some ground rules?
Sure. I think one of the things that is available in many areas of the state, again, if people go to the website and if there's a coalition in their area, many of them offer training, what we call QPR, question, persuade, and refer. It's like CPR for a reason. It's sort of, you know, some of that first aid for people who may be suicidal, and it helps people understand what the warning signs are and how to talk with somebody. And I think a lot of people probably have a gut feeling that something's not right with people, and they're just afraid to ask. They're afraid to ask in part because they don't know what people to do if somebody says yes, and they're afraid to ask because they think they'll make things worse. The fact is, there's no evidence you'll make things worse. If somebody's suicidal, most cases, they will actually be relieved to have the opportunity to talk about it. So asking somebody very directly, if you're picking up clues, if they're talking about being suicidal, which is sort of the main warning sign, but if they've been in a lot of emotional distress, if there's been some significant changes in their behaviors, in their mood, they're sleeping a lot or not sleeping, or they're not doing activities they used to just ask somebody very directly, are you thinking about killing yourself? Often that can be a relief if somebody hasn't talked about that with somebody. And then, of course, in the training, you know, we would talk with people about how to then talk with that person about what their options might be, whether that be talking with their primary care doctor, going to see a therapist, talking with a clergy person that they're close to. You know, there's a lot of options, but the key thing is to keep them connected and you know, have them see somebody that they trust, but who is also in a position to be able to talk with them further.
One of the ground rules, and I wonder if this one might apply to young people in particular, don't make a vow of silence. Don't keep this a secret.
Correct. Yeah. I think, you know, we always, you know, let people know that you don't want to do that. I care about you. I'm not going to keep this a secret. I want you to get help, and I'm concerned about that. the challenge with kids, as you say, is the youth culture is, you know, don't tell an adult. And the training that's available for youth is really focused on helping them understand the importance of acknowledging and caring about their friend. But part of that is finding a trusted adult to talk with.
We're talking to Shel Gross now with Mental Health America of Wisconsin, talking about Suicide Prevention Awareness Week.
And we're taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. How has suicide touched your life? Do you have any questions about how to help a loved one with suicidal thoughts? Are you working in suicide prevention in Wisconsin? You can call in and share your story at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our discussion about Suicide Prevention Awareness Week with Shel Gross of Mental Health America of Wisconsin.
We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about suicide and prevention efforts and resources here in Wisconsin? What do you think would help to achieve the goal we were talking about earlier of zero suicides? If you work in healthcare or mental health care, are you trained in assessing and managing suicide risk? Call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go right to a caller. We've got Debbie on the line in Waukesha. Debbie, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to talk about, Debbie?
Well, the word successful came in with regards to suicide, and one thing I was trained in to do was to never use that word in conjunction with that, to always say a completed, because it brings a positive connotation to that act. So that was always helpful for people that are talking about it, even like on a talk show.
Mm-hmm. Debbie, thank you so much. And I'll say, as a person in the media, that is a phrase I always kind of pause and think about a little bit, the idea of a successful suicide, as Debbie says, a positive connotation. Shel, is it important, the words we use, the way we talk about suicide?
Yeah, they sure are. And kudos to Debbie for calling in about that. I think also, you know, one of the other terms we don't like to use is commit, because we talk about committing crimes and committing sins. So again, when you talk about completing suicide or dying by suicide, it's a little bit more neutral. It doesn't have that tinge to it. So that really is important to people who, you know, have lost loved ones to suicide.
Debbie, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Natalie in Eau Claire. Natalie, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share some information about a local suicide prevention awareness event. It's an Out of the Darkness walk in Eau Claire, and it's coming up on September 17th. And it's part of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention organization. And I know that there are a lot of local walks. I'm more familiar with the Eau Claire one. My sister-in-law and I actually started it back in 2012 in honor of her dad who died by suicide, and it's still going strong, and the organizers are great, and it's just a really great opportunity to come, whether you know, have dealt with depression yourself or if you have a friend or family member who has died by suicide. So I just wanted to share that information. Again, September 17th in Eau Claire. There's information easily found online about the event, and I just really appreciate the opportunity to get the word out about it.
Natalie, thanks for calling and telling us about that Out of the Darkness walk in the Eau Claire area. And Shel, that idea, Out of the Darkness, and having these public walks, I imagine that people thinking about suicide, families who have survived a suicide by a family member, it's an isolating, alienating sort of thing. Is it important just that people are out talking about this in public, having walks, things like that?
Yeah, it really is. And again, appreciate Natalie calling in. We do have that walk on our upcoming events on the website, and I see there are five other Out of Darkness walks listed. So we've got Antigo and Wausau and Elkhorn and Milwaukee and Madison. People who have lost loved ones by suicide are also at greater risk of suicide. And so making sure that they have support is really important. And you're correct. Traditionally, it's been very isolating. There's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt. You know, families feel like they should have done something. So, you know, it's often very helpful for people to, you know, to be with others who have been in that same situation, who they know will understand what that's been like to them. And then very often, you know, many of these groups then are doing other things. Really in the United States, the reason we have federal funding for suicide prevention is because of the work of those who have lost people to suicide. They have been the leaders because they know what this is about. They have, you know, they have been there, and they don't want any other family to go through what they've been through.
We're talking to Shel Gross from Mental Health America of Wisconsin on Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. Back to your calls now with Ramel in Door County. Ramel, hi.
Hi. I lost my sister to suicide several years ago now, and I guess for people who are going through depression and this kind of thing, I think it's important for them to realize really what a rotten thing this is to do to your family. I think, you know, my sister was a very caring, loving person, and if she would have been able to see beyond how devastating it was to her family, how hurtful it was to the people that she loved. I mean, I think she was in such a dark place. She didn't see how much harm she was doing to her children and other people, that she really did think the world would be a better place without her. And it's just such a misconception. Such a faulty line of reasoning when people are in that dark place that they can't see how devastating it is to the people around them.
Ramel, thank you so much. I'm very sorry for your loss and that you went through that. Shel, are there ways as a family member, maybe a mental health provider, to reach someone in that dark place? It may not be a place where they're considering that kind of consequence.
Right, and Ramel is correct. When somebody's in that place, they really view themselves as being a burden and really do feel like others will be better off without them. And, you know, that's, you know, a lot of what, you know, the clinical work is about, it, you know, is working with people on that, is understanding, you know, what are the things that trigger them to be suicidal, what's happened in their lives, and address those things so that they can, you know, get to a place, you know, where they see that. But, you know, I think we, you know, recognize, as, you know, Ramel does, but is not happy about that at that particular point. Her sister didn't see that. I'm reminded of a story, a woman who is herself somebody who's lived with suicidality and has made attempts. She talks about how she always believed that her family would be better off until her brother killed himself. And then she realized she didn't feel like she was better off. And it really undermined her thinking about, you know, that validity of her completing suicide, that others will be better off, because she realized that wasn't the case. But it took that for her to be aware of that. And, of course, that's not how we want people to become aware of that. But, you know, it is symptomatic of the illness for many people who are depressed or have other mental health disorders, that's, you know, that's how they're thinking at that particular time.
Ramel, thanks for calling and sharing your story. We'll go next to Dennis on the line now in Wautoma. Dennis, hi.
Hi there. I've got a quick question. A friend of mine attempted suicide recently, and it was unsuccessful, thank heaven. And, you know, he's depressed about a job situation and the money situations and other things. And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, okay, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and so is my wife partner. And, you know, I've had some conversations with this person telling them, you know, we're both in a unique situation because we've overcome some pretty horrible situations that we put ourselves into. We got help. We managed to move on with our lives, and we're doing pretty good. And we're glad to be here for you if we can be in some way, in any way at all. You know, there's no shame in asking for help. But, you know, beyond, you know, just what I know from AA meetings and AA's 12-step programs and things like that, I'm wondering, how does a person who's not a family member but is a friend and is concerned, what do you do? How can you be supportive? What don't you do?
Well, Dennis, thanks for trying to provide that support for your friend. Shel, some advice on somebody in Dennis's situation. They want to help. What is a way they can help someone?
Well, yeah, I think, Dennis, the things you've done are just perfect. I mean, making it clear that you're there, conveying hope to the person, that's huge. The social isolation is really dangerous for people. And so other ways that you can encourage your friend to, you know, engage in, you know, things with other people. You know, clearly you didn't mention if he is seeking any help from a therapist, as I mentioned earlier, a physician, somebody from the faith community, really helping him think about who can he, I'm assuming it's a he, but it may not be, you know, can talk to. So to explore that, we know that certainly job loss, money issues, the strain that can create in relationships will increase people's risk of suicide if, you know, if there are other, you know, issues going on in their lives. So those are very, you know, real factors. So, you know, you've done, you know, what I would tell people to do. And so, you know, continuing to explore with your friend, you know, what are other things that they like to do? What can they do when they're, you know, starting to feel suicidal? If it's calling you, are there other people to call? Are there things they enjoy doing? There's actually this formal thing called a safety plan, which actually walks people through, you know, figuring out what triggers me, what helps me, who can I call, what are my other options kind of thing. So the more you can help your friend think about those things, that will be helpful. And, of course, obviously addressing some of those underlying things, which may be challenging as well in terms of, you know, getting a job and dealing with those money issues.
And, Dennis, good luck to your friend. And, Shel, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you very much for, you know, allowing people to hear about this. And, you know, I hope folks will go to the website and attend some of the events that are going on this month and next.
That's Shel Gross with Mental Health America of Wisconsin. We've got links to suicide prevention resources as we mark Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. You can find those links on the Central Time Facebook page.